Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
Like ships in the night, you keep passing me by. We're just wasting time, trying to prove who's right. And if it all goes crashing into the sea, if it's just you and me, trying to find a light. Like ships in the night, letting cannonballs fly. Say what you mean and it turns to a fight. Fists fly from my mouth as it turns south. You're down the driveway, I'm on the couch. Chasing your dreams since the violent fifth grade. Trying to believe in your silent own way. Cause we'll be okay, I'm not going away. Like you watched it 14 as it went down the drain. And pops stayed the same and your mom's moved away. How many of our parents seem to make it anyway? We're just fumbling through the gray. Trying to find a heart that's not walking away. Turn the lights down low. Walk these halls alone. We can feel so far from so close. Like ships in the night. Late headed to a red carpet, they won't know my name. Riding in silence, all that we wanna say. About to board when you call on the phone. You say I'm sorry, I'll be waiting at home. Feels like we're burning this out on our own. Trying to find a way down a road we don't know.
Turn the lights down low. Walk these halls alone. We can feel so far from so close.
Like ships in the night.
This edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking into the book of Acts. Once again, we're in Acts chapter 5. We're going to pick it up somewhere around verse number 32. I hope you're in your easy chair with a cup of tea, maybe Earl Grey, or maybe a Chinese tea guaning, something really good. Ooh. And then you'll be ready to go.
Now, there's a little restaurant over in Long Meadow, Chinese-Japanese restaurant, and they serve the best tea.
Oh. I'll tell you, there's a big differences in teas. Of course, the English are pretty good in teas.
Yep.
So they've kind of stole it in from somebody.
Earl Grey is good.
Earl Grey.
I like it, Earl Grey.
The bergamot makes it taste really good. Ooh. In the Earl Grey. That makes a nice tea.
Nice.
So if you've got your cup of coffee and your tea, I'm going to read verse number 32 of chapter 5 in the book of Acts. It says, "We are witnesses of these things, and so the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those whom or who obey him."
Yeah.
Excuse me. Woo.
Excuse Bless you. Me.
I don't know how that really. Something got a hold of me there. It must be this wonderful plant we have in the studio.
It's a wonderful palm tree.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but it's fake.
Anyway, you want to start over?
I'm going to read this again. We're not going to start over. We're just going to read it again. "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Well, that's pretty interesting. Now, I don't think I've ever put too many of these together. I always felt like, you know, Holy Spirit, he's a gift. He's given to us, and we don't have to earn anything with it. We don't have to do anything. We just simply receive him by faith, and the Holy Spirit works through our life. But here, he says, these guys are witnesses of all these things. And so the Holy Spirit's a witness whom he has given to those who obey
him.
Man, never read that.
You know, it's a great line there. I mean, I look back at the Old Testament and I see how individuals in the Old Testament had the Holy Spirit and was given to them. I think of Moses' words when he said, "Man, I wish all of you had the Holy Spirit."
Right.
And here in Acts chapter 2, we find out that this gift is given by God to everyone who believes and obeys.
Yeah, the obey is an interesting concept. You would think that would probably be the natural way for the Holy Spirit to work in a person's life. If he's obedient, then the Spirit can work through him, because they that are after the flesh do mind things of flesh, but they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. So they're obedient unto him. So you would think that this would be normal. But oftentimes, I see the Holy Spirit working through whomever.
Yeah.
That's what amazes me. It doesn't have to be somebody who's obedient.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, once again, I'm amazed at how God pours out his Spirit, gives his Spirit to people. And, you know, here in this, in what Peter's talking about, the Pharisees were saying, "Hey, don't talk about Jesus anymore. Don't do anything else here." And Peter's like, "We have to obey. We've been given this gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's been given to us because we obey, because we saw what happened. And now it's incumbent upon us to be obedient to the word that God has given to us."
And I would probably have to say that the obedience they're looking for is obedience not in so much of the works that we do, but more or less in the faith that we have. So kind of being obedient to the faith that you have. In other words, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you to do something, then your faith has to rise up.
Amen.
And you have to do it in faith. Not because of works. You're doing it because of faith.
Yeah.
And so the Holy Spirit is working through us because we exercise this faith.
And I think God understands that, you know, like you said, the works part, it can be a challenge at times. I mean, sometimes we're good. Sometimes we do the good works and we are obedient along that line. Other times we may miss it. And Jesus took it from the action to the heart. So,
he
judges on the internal. And so I think a whole lot more of us struggle probably on the inside than we do on the outside. But like you said, I think it comes to that faith of who we believe and do we really believe who Jesus said he is and what he did, and are we going to obey him?
Yeah. So it's just like you said, when someone is committing adultery, he can do it in his heart.
Right.
And so that's what you're talking about there. So they heard this. They were furious. Talking about the Pharisees. They get furious a lot.
They do.
That must be a furious Pharisee.
Yeah.
So when they heard this, they were furious, and they wanted to put him to death.
Oh, another one.
Oh, my goodness. They just like to kill anybody who takes a stand against their religious beliefs, I guess.
You know, and that hasn't changed over the years. I mean, you look at society today, if you oppose somebody, you're going to get attacked on social media. You're going to get attacked here or attacked there. People have gotten this kind of spirit all over them that people are talking about killing the president right now. And it's like, you didn't hear stuff like that so atrociously.
No.
And so this spirit, I think, is rising back up again in humanity.
I think that's probably exactly what it is. It's a spirit of murder. So they decided that they just want to kill him. Wow. Yeah. They want to put him to death.
All right.
Wow.
For God.
Oh, I'm going to do it for the Lord, yeah. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. That's pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Just put them out there. We want them to listen to this talk. It's kind of like it's going to be in the chambers. We're going to talk about this.
Here's a little private conversation that's going on. And I'm glad that Luke did the research here. Now, you're going to say, how did they know what went on in there? Well, Luke did research, and I'm sure he talked to some of the people that were in there. And quite frankly, Paul was a student of Gamaliel, so Paul could have been in this meeting right here, although he's not named. He would have been Saul at that point. So there were some people that I'm sure were in this meeting that came out and were able to tell Luke the story so he could write it down for us.
Well, it's interesting that Gamaliel was honored by all the people. In other words, he had a good reputation, so the people would listen to him. And so he puts the men, these apostles, puts them outside, and he gets the Sanhedrin together, and then he addresses them in verse 35, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men."
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting, because sometimes we don't consider carefully anything we do.
Sometimes you need a level-headed guy in the meeting to bring everybody back and just get them on point again.
"Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be somebody." Didn't say who he was, but somebody. "And about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing."
Yeah.
So, could work out good for you, he said.
Yeah.
Could work out good. But he goes on, he says, "After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census, and he led a band of people in revolt."
Yeah.
"Now, he too was killed, and all his followers were scattered."
I see a trend forming.
There's a trend. He's kind of giving them a history lesson.
Yeah.
"Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone and let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail."
Yeah.
Oh.
He nailed it.
He nailed it.
Yeah. When we do stuff in the flesh, when we as men like Thaddeus or Judas the Galilean, when we try to do things and make things happen— he's saying in this case, people that are trying to rescue us from Rome or Greece or whoever's in charge, he said, you know what? Their works are going to fail. It's not going to amount to much.
Yeah, I think that the key for me here is if it's a human origin,
right,
if it comes from the thoughts or the hearts of men, then it doesn't come from God. If it's coming from God, that's a different story. But if it's coming from men and you try, it's going to fail anyway if it's coming from men. So he's saying, just let the thing go. If it's coming from him, look what happened to these guys. It failed.
Exactly.
So just let it go. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourself fighting against God. What a statement that is.
You know, that is one of the most incredible statements
in
all of Scripture. I mean, these guys, the Pharisees had already killed Jesus. They already had one murder.
Yep.
They already said, let his blood be on our hands and our children's hands. And so Gamaliel is going, okay, time out, guys. Listen, we are not a band of murderers. We are religious leaders. He said, remember our past. Remember what happened to Thaddeus. Remember what happened to Judas. Those guys were killed. We didn't have to do anything about it. He said, it happened. Let it go. Let's see how this thing unfolds before we keep getting blood on our hands. And like you said, I love how he ties it. If it's from God, we're going to find ourselves in a real precarious position, because when we start fighting against God, God's going to start fighting against us, and we don't need to be on the end of that stick.
It's almost as though it is a direct ultimatum here. And the fact is that if it's from God, then you're going to have to fight against God.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys want to do?
Yeah.
You really want to fight against
Absolutely
God?
Absolutely not.
If it's from them, it's just going to fall apart anyway.
Right.
But if it's from God, you want to fight against God?
Right. So, because we're claiming to be the priests of God, the leaders of God.
So why should you fight against them?
Exactly.
So here, his speech persuaded them.
Yeah.
They called the apostles in and had them flogged.
Nice guys, aren't they? Get the canes out, cane them, or whatever they did, you know.
They flogged them.
They flogged them.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine Mark Zuckerberg right now is in front of the Senate or a committee right. in the House. And so they go and they say, oh, he's not doing anything wrong. Let's let him go, but let's flog him.
But first, let's flog him. You know,
let's flog him.
Public flogging probably deterred a lot of criminal activity in the past.
I think it probably would, you know, even if you were just on the edge, you know, you didn't want to get flogged.
No.
Even if you did nothing wrong, you're still going to get flogged.
Right. These guys obey God. They get flogged.
They get flogged. Oh. So then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they flog them and then they order them not to speak anymore. I'm telling you, this is not a democracy here.
No,
definitely not.
We complain when we're going through the drive-through and my Dunkin' Donuts coffee takes 32 seconds.
Oh my goodness!
You know, or something along that
line. Flog them,
flog them. You know, I don't think we understand the level to which these guys suffered for the name of Christ. Listen, right. If Jesus didn't really exist, if Jesus wasn't risen from the dead.
They wouldn't have done anything.
And
about this.
And I saw a flogging coming my way. I would have said, "Okay, stop. All right, hey, this is just a hoax. This is a big bowl of baloney." But they didn't.
They didn't. So they said, "Don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus?" Yeah. And they flogged them and they let them go. And the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Boy.
Yeah. Different
right.
mindset.
That's a whole nother mindset.
Different outlook on our religion. I mean, we like going to church and sitting in padded pews and all that stuff. And, you know, here, a totally different thing, man. I just, the way
totally
that
different.
They were related to the Lord Jesus Christ and what they did for him and how they promoted the name of Jesus Christ, a little bit different than we do today.
Their rejoicing was that they counted it worthy. I guess if you saw what Jesus went through and you watched him be crucified and so forth, then if you had to take a little flogging, you'd say, hey.
Well, I think about Peter when he was you know, Jesus had gotten arrested and he was in that group and they're saying, hey, you're one of his followers. No, I'm not one of his followers. And three times he denied him. And Jesus told him, you're going to deny me.
Wow.
Here's a moment where he stood up for Jesus. He got flogged.
Yeah.
He got whipped. And so I think it was a moment for him, although Scripture doesn't go into it. I'm sure something in Peter's heart and mind was saying, you know what? I'm going to rejoice because at one moment I would have denied him. Hmm. But listen, that gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, remember the Holy Spirit that was given to those who obey him? I think that Holy Spirit empowered him to be able to stand up to these guys.
There you go.
And to take that flogging.
There you go. And day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. So even though they were flogged, told not to preach, day in and day out, they went from house to house preaching the gospel, teaching and proclaiming. Now, there's a witnessing scripture right there for people in the church. They did it every day. They did it in the temple courts. They did it in church. But they also went from house to house preaching the gospel.
In their sphere of influence.
In their neighborhood. They were just preaching from house to house.
Yep. They were telling people about Jesus, talking to him about his resurrection, all that he had come to do. They were also disobeying the commands of the Sanhedrin. Now, I don't know if it was law, if it was a law. It probably wasn't a law. It was probably a command from the guys in the temple. I just wonder at times, will Christians have to make a decision between obeying a law, obeying something that they're told to do, or disobeying it to obey God?
Yeah.
And that's what these guys had to do.
Yeah. And, you know, the idea of going house to house is, you know, it's still once in a while people do this. Mostly Jehovah's Witnesses, not many Christians do, because we don't like to cause conflict. We like to think that, well, we don't want to bother somebody. We don't want to go and push our religion on them. But that's not what they were doing here. Nope. They were going and saying, look, you guys got to, you got to understand what Jesus Christ has done for you. You just got to understand it.
We're witnesses of it.
Yeah.
We're telling you the story. And I think we, like you said, we today, we need to talk about what Jesus Christ has done for us individually, with our family, with our friends, with our coworkers, so that they can understand who Jesus is and what he did.
I know that when we came back from the mission field, we lived in Ohio for a year. Well, one of the boys went to school. Ben was at Case Western and Sam was in a middle school, and we lived in Ohio. And we went to one or two churches. Finally, we found a church that we felt comfortable in, and we kept going to that church. But we never had anybody from that church. No one ever came to visit us. But we did have a pastor and his wife from the Jehovah's Witness actually come to our door, knock on our door, bring some cookies, invite us to church now. Wow. And they were talking about Jesus, you know. Of course, they have a different belief in who Jesus is. Sure. But nevertheless, they were out there door to door.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I often wondered to myself, you know, we really don't do a good job. And here it says this is what they did. They never stopped teaching, going from house to house, proclaiming the gospel. They never stopped, even though they were flogged.
Yeah. That Holy Spirit, once again empowered them to be witnesses and to go out and share that with anybody and everybody they met. And hopefully they saw Jesus in these people before these guys ever opened their mouth. But then when they did open their mouth, they heard about Jesus and it stirred something within them.
So when you come out the door of your house, if your neighbor's there, stop and talk to them about Jesus.
Yeah.
Or when you're going in the shopping mall and you run into a friend or someone, stop and talk a little bit about Jesus. Yeah. You know, this is what he's talking about. Never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news wherever you're at. That's something that we don't look at. We say, well, that's for the apostles. That's for them to do. That's not for us to do. But that's not what Jesus says. We should all be preaching the good news.
You know, when you go through the drive-thru and the coffee's late, you know what? Go through the drive-thru, smile at them and say, hey, you know, God bless you. It's okay. I'm okay. You know, so just take an opportunity. I think Paul says, make the most of every opportunity and share the love of Christ with people.
And this is a good time of the year because spring is here. We just had Resurrection Sunday, and people are at least open to the understanding of who Jesus is. So we want to encourage you, never stop proclaiming the good news. Go from house to house. Be a good witness. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed wishing you a great day. God bless.